Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop Ons podcast. My name is Colin Cox. No John Phelps this week. He's recovering from a non-COVID upper respiratory infection. So I wanted to take a quick moment and explain what you can expect from this podcast for the rest of this month and what this episode actually is. So between now and the end of March, we will release one additional episode on this feed, and we're near the end of Community's second season. So we will have another episode about a season two Community episode, and we will release a piece of exclusive material to our Patreon feed as we do every single month. It's just the timing might be a little different. So continue to refresh and update your feeds. Check Twitter because we always tweet when we release new episodes and new content. But let's talk about what this is. So we've done this from time to time where we unlock Patreon content in an attempt to maybe persuade any of you who may want to support us on Patreon but aren't exactly sure what you might get. So every single month, we release exclusive content for our patrons, and this is an example of something that we have released on that Patreon feed. This is an episode we recorded back in October of 2021 about Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, a wonderful satirical bit of television that was originally produced by the BBC. It's now available on Amazon. John and I had a wonderful, funny, charming conversation about it. And this gives you a sense, this is a representation of the sort of thing we like to do for our patrons. And if you decide to support us to receive access to this exclusive content, all you need to do is support us at the $3 tier. When you do that, you get a lot of amazing stuff. You get access to our back catalog. At this point, we've produced Patreon content for several years. You receive a unique RSS feed link that you can submit to your favorite podcatcher, and at that point, you don't need to go to Patreon to listen to this exclusive content. You'll receive it just like any podcast you may subscribe to. So there's a lot here to like. Again, it's only $3 a month. We have more expensive tiers, but to get access to that exclusive Patreon content, it's only $3 a month. But the thing to remember, though, the Hop Ons podcast is and will remain a free podcast. If you decide to support us, almost all of our patrons do it because they really like what we do and they want to show their appreciation. It's not a requirement, but if that's something that you're interested in doing, the Patreon link, it's the first link in the show notes. If you have questions, you can email us, you can message us through Twitter. We're happy to answer any questions you might have about navigating Patreon. And if you become a supporter at any level, you also receive access to the exclusive Patreon messaging system, and you can propose episodes. We've produced Patreon content based on recommendations from our patrons, and that's something that only patrons can do. So we hope you enjoy this unlocked exclusive content. And again, if at any point you want to support the podcast, if you want to do more than just listening from one week to the next, you can support us through Patreon. You can rate and review the podcast. All of that really helps. So we'll be back at some point on this feed between now and the end of the month with a new Community episode. But until we do, wish John Phelps the best. He's recovering. Enjoy this episode, and we'll talk to you soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop Ons podcast. If you are listening to this, then you are one of our dedicated Patreon supporters. My name is Colin Cox.
My name is John Phelps. Colin, hello.
John, thank you for inviting me to your dark place tonight. I'm excited
welcome
about this.
Welcome to my dark place. So, this is a little bit of a different episode. It's the spooky season. The spooky season is once upon us. And I wanted to I've been obsessed with this show recently called Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, a BBC show from, I don't even know when it's from, early aughts, I think.
2004.
Yeah, so I was right. And it is one of the more hilarious shows I've seen. It was on Adult Swim for a very short stint, and I had never really watched it before. It just showed up on Amazon Prime a couple months ago, actually. And my Twitter feed was like on fire with this show that I'd never heard of. And so I knew Richard Ayoade was in it from the IT Crowd, and Matt Berry was in it from What We Do in the Shadows, also in the IT Crowd, who I think is just a hilarious individual. And so I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And it's probably my favorite show now that I've watched it. There are only 6 episodes, sadly, but goddamn, it's one of the funniest things ever. So I asked Colin to watch it with me because it's got some spooky, surreal stuff in it, and I thought we'd discuss it for the Patreon episode.
So I was convinced that the Matt Berry character, who plays Dr. Lucien Sanchez,
yeah.
The first time I heard him speak, I was convinced they somehow contracted Patrick Stewart to do voiceover work for him.
They do ADR him a lot, and
yeah, they ADR a lot of people for some bizarre reason.
They do,
yeah. We'll talk about it. You know, it's funny, John, because this back when John and I were near the end of our run doing Arrested Development in season one, I pitched you this idea that we would just talk about pilots, and this is certainly the kind of show, if we moved in that direction, this is the perfect kind of show for that, where we just talk about the first episode or the pilot episode. So I'm excited that we're bringing this format, perhaps, to the Patreon exclusive content. So I think you had mentioned as well that it's a lot like the pilot with Jack Black that we talked about a couple of months ago. I don't remember the
yes.
name of it, though.
Heat Vision and Jack? Is that what it's called?
Heat Vision and Jack. Yeah. So it's different, but I think the tone and the ethos is really similar. This sense that the show itself is a kind of extended satire of, to be completely frank with you, intellectual property that I am not familiar with. And I didn't know if you were, though.
Well, what I think it's a show that it definitely parodies occult shows in the vein of something like your Twilight Zones, your Outer Limits, stuff like that. It has that vibe to it, but it also parodies soap operas, and it also parodies like hospital shows. So it combines all three of these things while also being a mockumentary, because it's really about a novelist named Garth Marenghi who decided to make a BBC show with his friends. And you could tell that the people in it are just in the 80s. Yeah. And
yeah.
You could tell that the people in it are just the worst actors imaginable. And he writes and directs all the episodes. And during the episodes you watch, he has intercut interviews of him and his producer, Dean Lorner. And later in the season, Lucien Sanchez, Matt Berry's character, shows up also. And they give interviews about what's happening on set and stuff like that. And it's a wild premise for a show. And I would love to have known the elevator pitch for it. But I tell you, from the intro, it just hooked me. It's one of the silliest goddamn things. And I love it so much.
And I will say, Julian Barrett is someone I know because, and I don't remember the name of this show, but he did a show with someone whose name I've also forgotten, but I know this is great. She was a host on the Great British Bake Off for a while, and they did a kind of immersion show where they would live and principally eat food of a particular period. So of the medieval period, of the Italian Renaissance.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic show. If I can find it, I'll include it in the links in the show notes. But so I think maybe one of the first things that I really want to ask you about is precisely this question of What do you think was the pitch for this show? And if I haven't mentioned as well, I'll include links to the Amazon Prime page for this show. And I think you said maybe the first episode is on YouTube. If I can find that link, I'll include it as well. Because if you haven't watched the first episode, which is what John and I are discussing tonight, you should definitely take 20 or 25 minutes and do that. But I also think, John, if you like what we do on this podcast, this is a show you would really like, because there's a lot of similarities between this show and Arrested Development and the soap opera on Twin Peaks.
It's a lot of the meta, like Twin Peaks. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the meta work that happens in Community. But what do you think? What was the pitch for this show?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, BBC shows are so wild, and I love that they take chances on shows like this. I think the IT Crowd had come out before this, I believe, and was very, very popular. Richard Ayoade and Matt Berry, both from that, were really sort of comedic geniuses in BBC sitcoms, which are so, they feel so different. And what I like about Dark Place, I'll get back to your question in a second, but about Dark Place is that it's a very British show, the comedy is, but it's also really slapsticky, it's got so many weird Pratt stuff and practical stuff and like jerky stuff. A good example would be at the end, Richard Ayoade's character Dean Lorner, you could tell he just wanted to fire a gun, so for no reason they cut to him firing a shotgun. and I just could not stop laughing about the idea that this man wanted to fire a gun. But I don't know what the pitch would be, unless he said, hey, I want to make a spoof on hospital shows from the 70s. I don't know, because it's so fucking wild.
So there is this joke, and you make this point about the framing device in the show. So the the author, director, star Garth Marenghi, he has this preface at the beginning, and he talks about how British TV is really, really bad right now. And you get the sense that he's talking about it in 2004.
Yeah.
John, the British Office ran from 01 to 02. So I want to tentatively say, they're making a bit of a joke about the success of the British Office and how the success of the British Office just produced all of these iterations across the world, because I think British TV in 04 was probably really good or whatever it is. So I think that's part of the joke too, is actually things were really, really good, but this Gareth Marenghi figure or Garth Marenghi figure wants to frame it as if everything is bad and the Dark Place is here to save it. Also, if we haven't said as much, the name of the hospital is also Dark Place, which is super weird.
It is. What a weird hospital, the Dark Place Hospital. Did you notice the book titles? I told you my favorite book title is Juggers. That made me laugh. Every time I see it, I just can't stop laughing.
He talks about afterbirth. So I want to talk about this. afterbirth, in which a mutated placenta attacks Bristol.
Yeah, so good.
I want to read, actually. I want to read Afterbirth so much.
There's a moment within the show where they're interviewing him, and he's like, you know, not many people have written more books than they've read, but I'm one of those. And I thought, man, that's just like, it's the best. He's really just a really very, very, very shitty Stephen King is who Garth Marenghi is.
Yeah, I think I've told you before, or I've mentioned this previously, that I recently returned to Kurt Vonnegut and a Kurt Vonnegut novel, and a lot of this Garth Marenghi, he feels like something of a caricature of Vonnegut that Vonnegut would write into one of his novels, like Breakfast of Champions.
Sure, yeah. So the story, really briefly, and it does, it essentially starts out with this woman who's a psychic who walks in to get a job, and there's a great moment. You know what the show's going to be, because as she walks in the hallway of the hospital, a cat shows up, but the way it shows up is you can see an extra throwing it in the hallway off camera. And the cat talks to her, so you know she's psychic. That's how subtle it is with her psychic powers.
You can hear what seems like just really odd and maybe even mistaken ADR, where someone shouts, "Just leave," and then you hear her in voiceover say, "Funny, that cat just told me to leave." And a lot of the episode is that. So it is 24 minutes, but there's so much repetition that it's a really fat 24 minutes.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot that happens.
Yeah.
And I love the way that she proves she's psychic to Rick is she goes, "I can do this." And she closes her eyes and opens it, and it's just two black holes where her eyes were. It's so good. Anyway, so
the handshake in the opening as well. The extended screaming is something they certainly could have cut by like 10 minutes. So.
Oh, that's so great though. The extended screaming, so good. Yeah. They talk to Dean Lorner, who is the producer of the show, and he gets to be a bit in the show, and he's like, you know, I told Garth that I don't know how to act, and Garth's like, "I don't want you to present acting, I want you to present the truth." So he's like, "Here I am presenting the truth." And he literally just doesn't, with any emotion, just reads a paragraph of lines. And at one point he's like holding a shovel. And to make his point that he's mad, they intercut him holding a styrofoam cup, crushing it. And then he goes back to holding a shovel again. The show revels in dog shit cinematography and ADR, and it's so good.
Yeah, and just a lot of inconsistencies. This feels a bit like The Room at times, where
things happen.
But at no point does anyone explain why. There's a moment at the end when Garth is on the roof of the hospital, offering a bit of voiceover to explain and really summarize it. It feels like the end of a Sherlock Holmes story, where Holmes and Watson are summarizing the main events, and he's in a sling, but at no point has he hurt his arm. So why is he?
I don't think I ever realized that. You're so right.
At no point has he hurt himself, or at no point do they establish he's hurt himself.
I never thought about that. That's so good.
Yeah, he's in a sling, so that's really fantastic. I know you have some other favorite moments that you would like to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So the story is like him and his other friend decide one night they're bored, and in the cafeteria, they open a portal to hell and raise a demon. And so the demon enters his friend, and his friend is in the hospital, and like Rick goes to check on him. And before he goes in, him and Lucian Sanchez have this whole spiel about, "You are my best buddy, but we're not best buddies anymore. And if I can't be your best buddy right now, that's cool." And Rick's like, "Thanks, man." And he goes in, and his friend blows up. Like, and I mean literally blows up. And then there's this great cut to like the behind the scenes where Garth's like, "I've never blown up personally." And I was like, that is the best line. "I have never exploded personally, but I think I would know what it would look like." And his friend is still alive after he explodes, his head's sitting there. And there's a moment when his friend is sitting there and his guts are all over the place. And he's like, "Garth," he's like, "No," he goes, "Rick, it hurts really bad." So somehow they're able to bury him, and he's a whole person when they bury him.
Rick says, "I need to stop the bleeding," and he's just a mess all over the floor.
He is.
Guts, innards are all over the place, and his instinct as the best doctor around is to stop the bleeding, but how do you stop the bleeding in that situation? Yeah, no, they've sutured him back together for the funeral, so he looks a bit like Frankenstein's monster.
He does. So the funeral happens, and he busts out of the funeral, out of the coffin, and Rick pulls a giant gun out of his jacket and shoots him four times, and then it cuts to Dean shooting a shotgun in the air at nothing, which is fucking hilarious. And then it cuts back, and Rick has a flamethrower. There's no
establishing shots. There's no establishing shot. He just has a flamethrower.
He sets everything on fire, and then his boss is like, "Rick was right. We had to set him on fire." Fucking stupid, and I just revel in it, man. I love this show so much.
Yeah, before he actually shoots his friend, who appears to be a kind of zombie, this woman runs, and apparently it's not his wife, but his mother.
His mother.
Because she shouts, "No, my no, my baby boy," and he shouts, "Move aside," and he just shoots her in the
He shoots his mom, yeah. He shoots his friend's mom right in the arm.
There's a line, I told John, I found the script online. There's a line that he says about her that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. "You'd best go see to the mother." Okay, hold on. Hold on. "You'd best go see to the mother. I had to put a cap in her shoulder."
Yeah. So and he's like, "Tell her I'm sorry." And Dane's like, "Okay." And he's like, "No, really. I actually am sorry about shooting this mom."
So he's like a quasi-80s action star as well.
He is.
Of how he's shooting the gun. So, John, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, often on the podcast, you and I have this conversation about authorial intent. And I think this show so beautifully encapsulates why you should never take what an artist says about their work seriously. Because Garth Marenghi has no idea about anything, it seems. And I think the show within the show, the embedded show, is a beautiful statement on the folly of authorial intent, because he has no idea what he's created.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to offer,
I love that.
Yeah. I just wanted to offer that as again, just a searing indictment of authorial intent as a kind of intellectual frame to understand a work.
The show, you're right, because the show reminds me, if like they went to Steven Seagal and said, "What's your passion project?" and he got to make his own show, it would be Dark Place. That's what it would end up being. It is genuinely one of the wildest shows. If you're a fan of parody, like if you're a fan of Mel Brooks, this is directly up your alley in sort of every way. It never takes itself seriously ever, and when it tries to, it's when it's the funniest. A great indicator of what the show's like is when they play the credits for it, it's just someone saying Dark Place over and over. And then if you notice in the credits of the show, it says Dark Place theme based on words hummed by Garth Marenghi. Dark Place, Dark Place, Dark Place. It's really, really good.
I have another favorite line. When we meet the character that Marenghi plays, Dr. Rick Daglis, who's also the protagonist of the show, this is what we learn about him in voiceover. I got the call too early to grab a shower, so I had to make do with a quick rinse around key areas.
And later he does, in a very abrupt way, which is one of my favorite parts, all the abrupt cuts. He's having a really serious conversation, and he goes, "I need to have a shower." And that's how the scene ends. And then it cuts with him walking out of the men's restroom in a hospital, a public men's restroom, in the shortest robe ever, carrying a cup of coffee and wearing loafers. And he's just like, nothing's changed.
His hair's wet. And then there's another cut, and his hair's dry. He's back in his normal clothing, white robe, everything, or white medical jacket, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
So the way time works in this show is also quite fascinating.
You should watch some more episodes. I will tell you,
I'm unbelievably excited to watch more episodes.
There's one where Liz, the woman, uses telekinesis to make everything in the hospital fly, and you just see all like the plates in the kitchen on like fish line, And Dane spends, Richard Ayoade's character spends a lot of time just shooting plates with a shotgun. And it's really, really funny. You're right. Time doesn't really move the way it should in this show. The acting is bad. The ADR is hilarious. I watched it with subtitles, and at one point, Liz's character is supposed to cry, but they didn't film her crying. So in the subtitles, it actually comes up and says dubbed crying because she's just like looking at the camera, but you can hear like tears.
So what do you think? Why? Because this is a question that I was hoping you could explain to me. Why is this part of the parody? Why is there so much awkward dubbing?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it adds to the low budget feel of the episode. And I noticed it more this time. I've probably watched this episode like 15 times. And I noticed
it
more.
It's really transparent in some places. Like, I want to say there's a moment when Sanchez says something, and John, it's like he's talking through an old bean can or something.
Yeah.
So it's so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. And the cameraman, you could tell most of the time the person working the camera deliberately doesn't know how to work a camera. A good example would be, so dark, they always show the exterior of the dark place, which is this miniature they've built that looks like a hospital. And to show like time passing between cuts, they zoom in on a hotel, on a hospital room, excuse me. And more than once, the camera doesn't know where it's supposed to go. So, like, it'll zoom in on one, and you can tell that somebody behind the scenes is like, no, go up one. And it's like, oh, and it, like, shakes and goes up a couple rooms. And so I think just the low-budget vibe, that's what the ADR does for me. Like, even Dean's lines, a lot of his, he doesn't even say them. They just are read, like, beside the camera, and then stuff happens. I don't know. I think it adds to it. It's funny as hell. I mean, I really like
it. Yeah, I do too. I think my favorite shot, it's actually one of the first shots in the embedded show when, what's her name, Liz, is that what you said? When she arrives at Dark Place to apply for a job. And the person she speaks to, his first line is, that sounds excellent. So he's shot in a close-up, John. But the way they've constructed the shot is such an awkward close-up.
Yeah.
So it's a close-up because, of course, it's shoulders up, but they have the camera, like, it's placed a little too high, and he's like off to the right a little bit. Like, the composition of the shot is so awkward.
It is, yes.
The funny thing is, like, you don't need to go to film school to know this. It's just, if you've watched movies or TV shows, you know what that close-up should look like, and it just doesn't look that way enough that it's perfect. It's a perfectly bad shot. And I think that's also I don't know who said this, but I'm sure enough actors have said this, that you need to be a good actor to act bad. And I think you actually need to be a good cinematographer to do cinematography bad. Because there's a kind of craft in how bad it is. And I think that's quite visible in the cinematography, which is some of the medium wides are just so, it's like, no, you would not, you would cut to close up there.
It's
and
so
they don't
great.
Do it. They just keep the medium and like they keep the medium wide, and it's so awkward, and they don't cut into coverage, and it's so weird.
There's a moment when Dane's talking about giving Rick a knuckle supper, instead of knuckle sandwich, and he raises his fist up. And when he raises his fist up, the cameraman pans over real quick, just so you can see his hand. It's just so good. It's so good.
It's just happenstance that this happened. But I was explaining to John, my son Gray, who's about 6.5. He and I have been watching Star Wars movies. He's really wanted to watch them, and we just watched The Phantom Menace. And this show feels as stilted as The Phantom Menace does because of Lucas's cinematography, like the way, the lack of camera movement, the just how boring those shots are in that movie. And I'm sure it's just because I watched The Phantom Menace over the weekend as John and I are recording this, but I was watching this at times and thinking, this is as boring as The Phantom Menace is. like just imagine how much capital and how much intelligence just on hand Lucas had to make that movie. And that's the stinker he produced. And
here they tried to deliberately make it look as bad as they could.
Yeah, and it basically looks like The Phantom Menace. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So. This is a very good show. It's streaming on Amazon Prime in the U.S. I highly recommend you check it out. It's a very good time. It's great for Halloween because it's got spooky elements. It's really fucking funny. It's got some gore in it. It's great. It's just all around. It's a good ass time.
And as it relates to Community, I'm so happy we watched and talked about this because the next episode we're doing from season two is the episode where Abed tries to make a Jesus movie. And
Oh, yeah.
John, there are a lot of similarities between how Garth Marenghi talks about his work and how Abed talks about this meta Jesus movie that I don't think I'm spoiling anything to say is just a hot mess. I'm excited to hear what you think of that episode, especially in light of this show, because I think there are some similarities, but there are some noticeable differences and moments of deviation as well. But again, only watching one episode, what I can say is if you like the things that John and I like, which if you're supporting us through Patreon, you probably do. I think this is something you'll definitely like without even necessarily understanding what it is they are attempting to parody, which is not something that I really get, but there's a lot to like here and a lot that's really funny here. So thank you.
Yeah.
This is, there are so many times when I'm truly thankful to have met John Phelps. And this is now like number two on the list of reasons why I'm thankful that I met you, that you exposed me to this show, because this is a fantastic thing to see.
Yeah, I'm glad. And thank you all so much for listening and supporting the show. We truly appreciate it. So I guess without further ado, if you have anything else to say, my name is John Phelps.
No, I don't. I'm just, the episode opens with Garth Marenghi reading from one of his books, Blood, Blood, Crimson, Copper Smelling Blood, His Blood, 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 and Bits of Sick.
And Bits of Sick.
John, thank you. My name is Colin Cox. This is the Hop-Ons Podcast. This was fun.
All right, we'll see you next time. Have a good Halloween. And, I don't know. Thanks for being around.